Rule number 12. Tacos make everything better. Well, almost everything. It was strange, sitting with my mom in my closet. It wasn't something we had ever done before. Sat in a closet together, I mean. But it felt a lot better than sitting in the closet alone. So, what's going on? Mom wanted to know. Why are you sitting in your closet crying? Because, I said. And the next thing I knew, the whole story had spilled out. Everything about Cheyenne and her talent not talk shirt and her boots and Mrs. Hunter moving my desk and the kissing game and the slumber parties and Cheyenne going with Patrick and Sophie going with Prince Peter and Caroline going with Lenny Hsu, even though I was pretty sure Lenny still didn't know he was going with Caroline, and Erica going with Stuart and Cheyenne trying to make me go with Joey and Joey crying on the swings and Cheyenne telling me my new name was Big Baby Finkel, and me telling Cheyenne she wasn't the boss of me, and Mrs. Hunter looking so shocked and telling me to speak softly to my neighbor, and Uncle Jay shaving off his beard and changing for Harmony. By the end, I was sobbing more than ever. And now, I finished, hiccuping a little, Mrs. Hunter hates me. Oh, honey, Mom said, putting her arms around me. Mrs. Hunter doesn't hate you. I'm sure Mrs. Hunter doesn't hate you. She does, I assured my mom. The thought of Mrs. Hunter hating me made me feel as if my heart was breaking. Everyone hates me. They're all going to call me Big Baby Finkel. I can never go back to Pine Heights Elementary again. Don't be silly, Mom said as she rocked me a little in her arms, just like she used to when I was younger even than Kevin. Let me ask you something. When this Cheyenne girl talks about you girls going with these boys, what does that mean exactly? I don't know, I said, shrugging. None of us do. Cheyenne says it's just what mature people do. I see, Mom said. Being held by Mom was making me not feel so bad. I'd stopped crying just because I was smelling the mommy smells of her. She smelled like her perfume and, well, just like Mom. She was soft, in a different way from Musy, who'd finally gotten tired of being cried on and run off to find his catnip ball and go swatted around, and comfortable, and just perfect, even if it was kind of getting cramped with the two of us in my closet. Well, I don't want you to worry about it anymore, Mom said, because I'm going to take care of it. I felt so nice, like nothing bad could happen to me, sitting there in the closet with Mom, smelling her nice mom smells and feeling her nice mom softness. But I didn't understand what she was saying. What do you mean? I asked. How are you going to take care of it? You can't take care of it. You don't even go to Pine Heights Elementary. I know, Mom said, but I still know how to take care of it. Panic seized me, and suddenly, I knew. I knew what she was going to do. Mom, I cried, struggling to get out of her lap. No, you can't. You can't call Mrs. Hunter. Ellie, Mom tried to hold on to me. What's wrong with you? Why shouldn't I call Mrs. Hunter? She told us when we first enrolled you that if we had any problems, we could call her any time. Well, I think this Cheyenne girl is a problem. I agreed with Mom that Cheyenne was a problem, but I didn't want to be a tattletale, a stool pigeon. Although, the thought of Mrs. Hunter handling the problem of Cheyenne calling me Big Baby Finkel the way she'd handled the kissing game problem was deeply comforting. In a way. Still, everyone would know. And it wouldn't be like how everyone had known Stuart's mom had called about the kissing game, because that had happened to all the boys. The Big Baby Finkel thing had only happened to one person, me. I was the only girl in the entire fourth grade who wasn't going with a boy. Well, except for Rosemary, but she didn't count. All the boys were afraid of Rosemary. Mom, I protested. You can't. You just can't, okay? Everyone will know. You have to let me handle it myself, okay? Okay, Allie, Mom said after a second or two. Okay, if that's what you really want. That's what I really want, I said. even though it wasn't. Not even the slightest. Mom let out a big sigh and said, "Fine, then. I'm going to go downstairs now. I want you to go wash your face and hands and get ready for dinner. Dad made one of your favorites, tacos." "Okay," I said. I didn't want to go downstairs. I wanted to stay in my closet, on my mom's lap, forever. But I knew I couldn't. Mom gave me a kiss and then got up, with a little trouble, and climbed out of my closet. On her way out of my room, she wrinkled her nose and said, "And don't forget to scoop out Musi's litter box. In fact, I think you should probably move it to the kid's bathroom. I think he's old enough now that you can start letting him out of your room during the day." "All right," I said again. After I'd scooped out Musi's box, I washed my hands and looked at myself in the mirror. My face was all red and splotchy from crying. I looked exactly like what Cheyenne had accused me of being, a big baby. I guess because that's what I was, a big baby who let other people boss her around. Except I hadn't. I hadn't played the kissing game, and I wasn't going with Joey Fields. And I hadn't let my mom call Mrs. Hunter. Who knew what kind of torture I was going to walk into when I went to school tomorrow? Still, whatever it was, I was going to handle it on my own, like a mature person, not a baby. I dried my hands and went downstairs for taco night. In spite of my nervousness about tomorrow, I was starving. I ended up eating 3 tacos with everything on them, except salsa. Everyone was very impressed by my appetite. After dinner, we 3 kids and Uncle Jay had a burping contest, and I won. Mom said I was disgusting, but that she was glad to see I was feeling better. She also asked Dad when they had had a 4th child, because someone seemed to have slipped one into the house without telling her. Uncle Jay knew exactly who she was talking about. Him. He said not to worry, that he'd be leaving soon. "Because," he said proudly, "I got a job today."
"No," Mom said, looking astonished. "You did not."
"Yes," Uncle Jay said, "I did. You are now looking at the newest delivery person for Pizza Express."
Mom stopped looking so astonished.
"Oh," she said, "you got a job delivering pizzas."
"Funny," Uncle Jay said. "That's exactly the way Harmony said it."
"It may not be the most upwardly mobile job, but every journey starts with a single step. And I get all the free pizza I want, and I should meet a lot of interesting people. Anyway, Harmony's going to give me a second chance. We'll be taking things slowly, but it's a start."
"Hallelujah," Dad said. "I can have my remote back."
"And I can have my guest room back," Mom said.
"Does this mean I'm not going to get your futon couch?" Kevin asked.
Uncle Jay told Kevin that, sadly, he wouldn't be getting his futon couch, a fact that Kevin accepted eventually. He got me and Mark to help him move his bed back to where it had been. I have no idea how he'd scooted it around to make room for the couch. That night, I didn't sleep very well. I kept thinking about how Cheyenne's face had looked after I told her she wasn't the boss of me, like I was about to learn a lesson. The truth was, Cheyenne actually sort of was the boss of me, because Cheyenne was the boss of the whole 4th grade. I don't know how it happened, especially considering the fact that she was the new girl and she wasn't very nice. But somehow Cheyenne had come along, and everyone in room 209 had let her turn into the boss of us all. And in the morning, I was going to have to pay for standing up to her. The thought of it made my stomach hurt. The next morning, when I met Erica at our door when she came by to pick me up for school, I didn't tell her about how I'd shut myself into my closet, crying most of the evening, or that I told my mom everything that had been happening in our class. I didn't tell her that I'd been up half the night worrying, or that more than anything, I was dreading going back to room 209 to face Cheyenne and be called Big Baby Finkel all over again. I could tell by Erica's face that I didn't have to tell her any of these things. She already knew. She gave me a big hug and said, Don't worry, it won't be that bad. But Erica was just being Erica. It was absolutely going to be that bad, and we both knew it. On the way to school, Erica tried to give me a pep talk anyway, saying how if Cheyenne called me Big Baby Finkel, she was going to call Cheyenne a name she'd come up with, and that she'd talked to Caroline and Sophie on the phone the night before, and that they'd both agreed to call Cheyenne the name too. I didn't ask what the name was. I was too busy thinking my own thoughts, which were mostly thoughts about how much I wished Erica would stop talking about all this in front of Kevin, who was listening very interestedly. Which was why, when we reached the stop sign, I hardly even noticed at first that Caroline and Sophie were both there. Just like they used to be, back in the old pre-fight days. They weren't as chatty as before, but they weren't trying to kill each other either, which was definitely a step in the right direction. I don't know what Erica had said to them, but she had gotten them talking at least. Erica totally had some kind of future ahead of her as a diplomat or something. Her skills as a queen didn't lie just in lopping evil warlords' heads off. I guess all that trying to keep people from fighting all the time actually had taught her a thing or two. I, for one, really appreciated it. For the first time, I felt a little tremor of hope about the day ahead of me. I mean, in between the thoughts about how I was going to die. Still, even though Caroline and Sophie weren't at each other's throats for a change, the closer we got to school, the twistier my insides started to feel. It had rained in the night, and then the rain had frozen over, so everything was covered with a layer of ice, making the tree branches all pretty and sparkly. But it had also made all the old dirty snow completely treacherous and slippery, so that we couldn't go on the baseball diamond. Mr. Elkhart was out there with the salt machine. So that meant everyone was just standing around with nothing to do. And it also meant that Cheyenne was totally just waiting for me the minute I dropped Kevin off at the playground. I mean, she couldn't play the kissing game, because that had been outlawed, or watch the boys play kickball, because it was too slippery for them to play. And it wasn't like any of them would talk to her. Not even her alleged boyfriend, Patrick, since he was busy trying to kick the ice apart, lift up chunks of it, and throw it at people. This is what boys at Pine Heights Elementary did on very icy mornings. So, of course, all of Cheyenne's attention was free to focus on me the minute I set foot on school property. "Oh, look!" Cheyenne called the second I let go of Kevin's hand at the jungle gym, which was covered in icicles. No kindergartner was allowed to climb on it. "Big Baby Finkel dared to show her face in school today." I set my jaw, even though my stomach twisted harder than ever at the sight of her miniskirt, tights, and high-heeled zip-up boots. I couldn't help noticing that Marianne, Dominique, Shamira, Rosie, and even shy Elizabeth had all gotten their parents to go out and get them high-heeled zip-up boots, just like Cheyenne's. They were all wearing them. Their heels made click-clack sounds on the ice as they came toward us. Looking down at my thick snow boots, I felt exactly like what Cheyenne had accused me of being. A little bit immature. But if I'd been wearing boots like they had on, I wouldn't have been able to get Kevin to school without slipping, I realized. "Cheyenne," Erica said as we came down the path toward her, "why don't you..." Cheyenne raised her eyebrows at Erica. Erica rarely, if ever, said anything mean to anyone. She was too busy trying to make sure everyone got along. But today, Erica surprised me, Cheyenne, and everyone else who was watching by shouting, "Cheyenne, why don't you just shut up, big mouth?" "Yeah," Sophie yelled. "Big Mouth O'Malley!" "Big Mouth O'Malley!" Caroline shouted. Cheyenne looked startled to be called Big Mouth O'Malley, especially when Rosemary, who was standing nearby, started laughing. "Big Mouth O'Malley," Rosemary said. "That's exactly what she is." Cheyenne's face started turning red. "I am not a big mouth," she said.
Excuse me, Rosemary said. "But yeah, actually, you are."
"If I'm a big baby, Cheyenne," I said, feeling a burst of love for my friends who were helping me stand up to this girl who had been making me miserable for so long, "you're a big mouth."
"You are a big baby," Cheyenne said. Her face was turning redder by the second. But I'm not a big mouth.
Wow. Why hadn't I noticed before that Cheyenne was good at calling other people names, but she wasn't so good at taking it when other people called her names? How genius of Erica to have figured this out.
Big mouth, Erica sang. You could tell she was kind of enjoying herself. She had had plenty of practice at home, watching her older brother and sister tease each other, and sometimes her. She knew how it was done. Big mouth O'Malley!
Big mouth! Caroline, Sophie, Rosemary, and I linked arms and joined Erica.
Big mouth, we sang. Big mouth O'Malley!
Shut up!
Cheyenne's face was so red now, it looked like a tomato. Tears were glistening in her eyes.
I hate you guys!
Marianne and Dominique and the rest of the girls from our class didn't know what to do. At first, they'd been giggling, because calling someone a big mouth was pretty funny. But then, when Cheyenne started crying, they stopped giggling as much.
Still, I noticed no one came to Cheyenne's defense. No one said, "Hey, she's not a big mouth."
I guess because they knew it was true.
Also, because they probably knew tomorrow it could be them Cheyenne was calling a big baby, or something even worse, for no other reason than that they hadn't done something she'd told them to do.
Suddenly, from over near the flagpole, the sound of a whistle pierced the playground. We turned around, wondering what it could be. Normally, Pine Heights uses a bell system. That's when we saw Mrs. Hunter standing there, in her dark green winter coat with its imitation fur trim.
Room 209!
She cupped her gloved hands over her mouth to yell in our direction.
Get in your lines now!
We all stared at her. The first bell hadn't even rung yet. What was she talking about?
Right now, Mrs. Hunter yelled. Patrick Day, you put down that ice this minute and get in line.
Patrick Day dropped the 2-foot chunk of ice he'd managed to pry up from the sidewalk. It shattered into a million pieces, just as he'd intended it to, although he pretended he'd dropped it by accident.
What's all this about? Rosemary wondered as we picked our way across the iced-over playground to get into our lines.
You don't think she heard us, do you? Erica worried. And we're in trouble? I mean, Cheyenne started it.
She couldn't have, Caroline said. Maybe she's worried about the ice. You saw what Patrick was doing.
I had a sinking feeling I knew why Mrs. Hunter's class, and just Mrs. Hunter's class, was being called inside early. Had my mom gone ahead and done what I'd asked her not to? I felt like I had swallowed a fork or something.
My mom had called Mrs. Hunter.
She had actually called my teacher. I knew it. I just knew it.
Mrs. Hunter was going to tell everyone. But wait, Mrs. Hunter wouldn't say anything. When Stuart's mom had called, and I was pretty sure she had, Mrs. Hunter hadn't said so. She just said the kissing game had to stop. She hadn't said, "The kissing game has to stop because Stuart's mom called." Maybe it would be okay. Maybe I wasn't about to get killed by every girl in this class, except my friends. Maybe... Oh, who was I kidding? I was dead meat. We got into our twin lines that Mrs. Hunter required us to get into in order to march into school every morning when the bell rang. Only no bell had rung. Mrs. Hunter stood in front of us, looking more disapproving than I had ever seen her. Everyone thought it was because of Patrick and the ice. Patrick's face was even redder than Cheyenne's had been. Mrs. Hunter looked up and down our rows to make sure everyone was there. Then she said, in her coldest voice,
"Follow me, please. When we get into the classroom, put your coats and hats away silently and take your seats."
It was clear that Mrs. Hunter's fourth grade class was in trouble. Big trouble. We followed Mrs. Hunter inside the warm building, aware that all the other kids in school, back outside, were watching us and talking about us. The first bell hadn't even rung yet, and they were all outside, still playing, while we were being brought inside to... What? Be punished? We didn't know, but it was clear it wasn't going to be good. We didn't dare speak. We just went upstairs to room 209, took off our coats and hats and mittens and scarves, and went to our desks the way Mrs. Hunter had told us to. None of us said a word. Joey Fields tried to say something to me. I think it was arf, but I gave him a warning look and he quieted down. I don't know about anyone else, but I felt as if what I had had for breakfast, oatmeal, was sitting like a tiny bowling ball in my stomach. Mrs. Hunter, instead of going to her desk and looking over her lesson plan for the day, like she normally did first thing, got the stool she usually read to us from, brought it to the front of the room, and sat down on it. Then, she just looked at us. She didn't seem to like what she saw, either. It was as if what she saw was a bunch of maggots crawling from a skull, like in one of Stuart Maxwell's drawings. "Last night," Mrs. Hunter began when she was sure she had our complete and undivided attention, "I got a very disturbing phone call from the parent of a fourth grader."
Oh, no. She'd done it. My mom had done it, and after I'd asked her not to.
I wanted to bury my face in my hands. Only I couldn't, because then everyone would have known the parent who'd called was my own. Instead, I tried to sit as still as possible, with my face turned straight ahead and my expression as blank as possible, as if I found what Mrs. Hunter was talking about was very interesting. But inside, I was freaking out. This was it. I was going to throw up my breakfast all over my desk. After that, I was moving to Canada, because I was never going to be able to show my face in Pine Heights Elementary School ever again. I was praying, "Please don't say my name. Please don't say my name. Please don't say my name. If you ever thought I was a joy to have around the classroom, Mrs. Hunter, please pay me back by not saying my name."
"I was extremely shocked and horrified to learn," Mrs. Hunter went on, "that there are children in my class who are going with one another."
She said it just like that, too, like it had quotation marks around it. She even made quotation marks with her fingers in the air as she said the words "going with." I knew what they were because we were learning about quotation marks in English.
"I have no idea what going with means," Mrs. Hunter said, "but I can tell you right now that I will not condone it in my classroom. Any of you who are going with anyone else in room 209 or any other classroom here at Pine Heights Elementary are officially broken up as of this minute."
It was so silent in room 209, I almost thought I could hear Mark breathing down on the playground. No one moved. No one even seemed to inhale. Everyone seemed to be afraid even to look at anyone else. Joey didn't even growl. I'm almost positive Patrick didn't pick his nose.
"If I hear any more talk of boyfriends or girlfriends or going with or kissing or crushing or anything like that," Mrs. Hunter continued, "I will personally send the person to see Mrs. Jenkins down in the principal's office. Then I will call his or her parents. Have I made myself clear?"
The eyes of every student in room 209 were wider than I had ever seen them. I looked down our row and saw Patrick Day gulp.
"You are children," Mrs. Hunter said, her green eyes crackling. "Most of you aren't even 10 years old yet. You have years before it's time to start worrying about crushes and going with each other. You are not going to start now, this year, in my classroom. For now, you are going to concentrate on being 9. Put your hand down, Cheyenne."
To my total disbelief, Cheyenne had actually raised her hand. At Mrs. Hunter's tone, however, she lowered it pretty quickly. She didn't look too happy about it, though. She ducked her head, muttering to herself.
"If any of your parents have a problem with what I've just said," Mrs. Hunter went on, "they are welcome to call me, either here at school or at home. I'll be happy to discuss this with them. In fact, I'll be making a few phone calls tonight myself."
Cheyenne's head shot up. Now she looked a little scared. Marianne and Dominique, I couldn't help noticing, also exchanged glances.
"Now,"
Mrs. Hunter said, sounding more like her usual self. Her eyes weren't crackling anymore. In the future, I want you to know that if any of you are having a problem with any of your fellow classmates, if you feel as if you are being bullied or picked on, or even feel like you just need to talk, you can always, always, always come to me. That's what I'm here for. Right after Mrs. Hunter said that, the first bell rang, indicating that the new day was starting, which was kind of funny, because a new day really was starting for all of the students in room 209, just in a different way than usual.